the government is underway, I suppose, with building cycle lanes or cycle tracks right throughout New Zealand. In fact, around our way, they're building cycle tracks at the moment. And I've got to admit that I'm a little bit enthusiastic about that. I'm thinking, actually, I might have to get myself a bike and do a little bit of cycling, which would probably make Glenn Currie very happy. He's co-chairperson of the Cycling Advocates Network, joins us on the phone from Christchurch. Glenn, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You'd be happy if people went out cycling?
Yes, no, it's good to see more and more people taking it up, I guess recreationally at least, and ultimately we'd like that to translate into for all kinds of trips.
Is this chicken before the egg or egg before the chicken? Are we building cycleways because more people are cycling, or are more people going to be cycling because we're building cycleways?
I'd like to think it's a bit of both, actually, that they will feed off each other. I guess in some ways I've heard people talk about cycling as the new golf, that people are getting out and doing a lot more riding around the place, whether it's mountain biking or on training rides and so forth.
Yep.
But I think also it can be the impetus as well to get people to realise that it's actually a pretty good way to get around the place and see your country.
So as a network, the Cycling Advocates Network, you'd be, I'm sure, quite happy about this proposed cycleway throughout the country.
Yeah, it's I suppose it's somewhat unexpected when it first came about. I wasn't really expecting it from a national government, probably even less so. we're very keen to support it and help where we can. I guess that's where the network part of CAN helps, that we have groups all around the country, and some of them have a lot of good experience and advice on, you know, what could actually work as really useful rides around the place.
Well, I mean, you're already, CAN is already working with local authorities and government on behalf of cyclists. That's part of what you do, isn't it?
Very much so, yeah. Trying to, firstly encourage them to certainly put a bit more time and effort into providing for cycling in different areas and a bit of dollars as well. And then also providing advice, because often half the problem in the past has been actually they don't have a lot of experience or skills necessarily in how to do this. I guess traditionally we've done a lot of road building, and we don't always know about walking or cycling quite how to provide as well.
Yes, it's interesting, the gentleman that's on the news, and I can't remember his name, although I must say Aaron Ironside's talking to him on the breakfast show tomorrow, but the guy that proposed the idea in the first place isn't a cyclist because he thinks it's too dangerous on the roads to cycle.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest challenges we've still got to get over is that perception. I mean, I can talk till I'm blue in the face about the reality of the safety of cycling, but it's the perception that matters for a lot of people. This may be the way that some people are comfortable to first get into things if it's away from traffic, and that's fine, and maybe that builds up the confidence, and then they can think about other trips as well, perhaps, you know, just around home to the dairy or things like that as well.
Well, it does. I mean, I can tell you from experience of somebody who hasn't cycled. I mean, when I was younger, I used to bike all over Dunedin and you know, it was never a problem. But now I'm in my late 40s and a little bit more wary of my health. When we were in, as I said earlier, when we were in Adelaide, they hand out free cycles to cycle around the city, and it's flat, which is good. And I felt fine on the walks and the paths. But on the parts where you actually had to get up with the traffic and the cars and the buses and the trucks, that certainly felt unsafe for a new cyclist.
Yeah, and I think that's a common issue. I've actually just been involved in some research looking at how do we attract the next 10% or whatever of people to take up cycling for regular trips. And we looked at different options for where we could put facilities. And certainly as we got further and further away from the road, I guess, then people tended to favour them more. So, you know, that's something we've got to look at. We've probably gone for the cheap option sometimes, put a bit of paint on the road, and that can work very well, particularly for existing cyclists.
Yep.
But, yeah, if we want to get that new next 10%, we may have to do a few different things.
Yeah, you've got I found it quite ironic, the title of your conference coming up later in the year in New Plymouth, Communities, Connections and Economy. I mean, we're in the middle of a recession and we're spending a whole lot of money in connecting communities.
Yeah, well, I guess it was somewhat deliberate. We thought, what are the issues at the moment? And obviously, it's the economy, stupid. That's, you know, what it's all focusing on. And I guess we really wanted to highlight how much we think cycling can actually support these things. There seems to be a lot of focus on, say, roads of national significance and projects like that as a way to get out of the recession. And I think people have overlooked the fact that actually cycling is a relatively cost-effective way to achieve a lot of the aims they want economically as well.
Right, you work in closely, I think, with the Australians. Is that correct?
You mean the equivalent Australian cycling groups and so forth?
Yeah, I mean you're not unknown to each other.
Yes, yes, no, that's very much so. In fact, they're going to be coming over for that conference. They have the Australian Bicycle Council will be meeting ahead of the conference.
Right. What are their thoughts? What's their strategy?
It tends to vary from state to state. They don't seem to be as coordinated nationally as we are, interestingly enough. They've had a national strategy for a while, but it does tend to be led by the states. And some of them seem to have gone down this path already of a fair bit of investment on facilities, both on and off-road, a lot more than we have. I guess we've tried to do it a bit on the cheap and look at other things like, say, travel behaviour change as well.
Mm. So getting people more used to travelling on the normal roads.
Mm. Yeah.
So... So this particular cycleway, I mean, how well do you see it being used?
I think it's one of those things that's going to grow as the network grows. It's a bit like developing networks in a city as well. Often the little pieces you do initially, yeah, that's great, but, you know, it doesn't quite get me from A to B yet. And it's not until you start filling in the gaps. This has the advantage that they're longer pieces, so people will come for particularly the tourism recreational needs. But I think more interesting is going to be when the gaps start being filled in, because then you're actually starting to also think about other trips that people can make, perhaps just around home, you know, to work and school and so forth. Yep. And that was the experience in the UK with the Sustrans cycle network around the country there. Yes, it does a lot of touring and recreational trips, but it's actually the utility trips. It's a lot of the trips near the urban areas that are some of the biggest users of it now.
All right. Are you and the government consulting you regarding the route for the National Cycleway?
We've certainly been involved along the way in terms of providing advice on what we already know about existing routes, potential routes, and so forth. All our groups have been providing support, and so we're certainly keeping in the loop with the Ministry of Tourism about what's involved, and also things like the standards involved, for example, as well. Interestingly, we were already actually doing some work along these lines before the government announced this. We were already looking at options for national cycle networks.
How are you going to pay for that without John Key jumping in?
Well, that was going to be the trick. I still see, though, that the $50 million they've put up is going to be a lever for attracting other funding.
Yep.
And that's what happened again in the UK, was that the government gave Sustrans quite a good Millennium Grant to kick things off, but the bulk of their funding has actually come through other means, community support and so forth.
All right. And regarding the comment that it could become the biggest tourist attraction in New Zealand?
Well, I guess physically it may end up being the biggest tourist attraction. I mean, the numbers can be quite staggering. We've only got to look at what's happened on the Otago Rail Trail and just one bit of it alone. You know, start multiplying that around the rest of the country and it can have very good take-up, right. Not just from international people as well. I think it'll be great for locals to be able to see their own backyard as well.
So forget the Tour de France, it's the Tour de Aotearoa.
Sounds good to me.
Right, Glenn, thanks for your time.
You're welcome.
Glenn Corey, co-chairperson of the Cycling Advocates Network. If you're a cyclist and you haven't heard about them, well, shame on you. Website, very easy, is can.org.nz for Cycling Advocates Network, can.org.nz.